You're listening to Three Kitchens Podcast, hosted by Aaron Walker and Heather Dyer. Tune in weekly to get inspired and make good food. Shall we quit laughing at ourselves?
We're having a good little chuckle this morning.
Yeah. Huh. We can get going with this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, listener. Thanks for joining us here on Three Kitchens Podcast. I'm Heather. I'm here with my friend Aaron.
Good morning.
Hi.
We're sitting here in our jammies, essentially. You've got your giant sweater.
I'm starting to overheat. It's my comfy. You know that thing? It's like a wearable blanket.
Greatest invention ever.
I'm quite hot at the moment. Take off the headphones and peel this sucker off because I'm starting to overheat. Actually, in fact, I will. Just give
there you go. We'll just pause right here.
There's no perfect temperature at this time of year. It's like you go out of the house in the fall and it's like, oh, you know, it's a little chilly this morning. So you put on a sweater and you dress kind of warm. And then by the time you say you do your shopping, you come back out, it's like, it's sunny and hot. What happened? And
this is the thing. I'm always like overheating by the time I'm getting to like pack my groceries because I've worn like the sweater and the vest and I had like probably a hat on.
Yeah.
And then by the time I make it to pack my groceries, I'm like, okay, putting this off, taking that off.
And then you have all this extra stuff. And then you get out to your car and you're like, oh, I got to put the heat back on because now I'm.
Yeah. I'd like my seat heater on now, please. Yeah.
Oh. You know that I just got a new car recently and it has a heated steering wheel. My first ever. People listening are like, oh yeah, I've had one of those for years, but this is my first heated steering wheel and it feels very fancy. I've been using it already.
Heated steer. I actually didn't know that was an option. So
oh, yeah,
I'm living. My most recent vehicle purchase was 2011. So
I had an 09, so you know. And you know what else they have now on fancier cars than mine?
Ooh.
Cooled seats.
This is what I've heard is the seat cooling.
Oh my God. I test drove one with cooled seats and my husband and I were both like, can we get this? But no, we couldn't afford that car in particular. But anyway, right. I do have a heated steering wheel, which is quite nice.
Excellent.
Okay, so now we've talked, we're in fall.
Yes.
It's sweater weather, as we keep saying. And one of the harvests at this time of year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere where we are, is pumpkins. Aaron, you've grown pumpkins in your garden.
I had a wicked year for pumpkins. So I got 10 pumpkins out of my garden, one giant carving pumpkin, and then the rest of them are all little pie pumpkins, which feel like rocks. Now that I've picked them and put them...
They're dense, yeah.
They're solid little guys. So I'm going to have enough pumpkin to live off of pumpkin-related products for a while. So I'm really excited to know what you're making with pumpkin because I need ideas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I got two pumpkins from my sister who gets them from her in-laws who have a farm. Mm. And... apparently this year they decided to plant a smaller pumpkin patch and they only planted, I think it was 9 plants or something, but they got like 50 pumpkins, like an outrageous number. And these are not small little, these are all pie pumpkins. Sorry about the dog. You can hear the dog losing her mind somewhere in my house. These are pie pumpkins. So like you said, they're solid, like they're not the carving ones and they don't look super big. Like I think it weighed like 10 pounds. But
that's 10 pounds of pumpkin practically.
I had two of them, two 10 pound pumpkins. And so what I did was cut it in half. I got my husband to help me with a big knife and like whack that thing in half. Scoop out, there's very little guts in the middle of it.
Right.
And very few seeds. It's not like a carving pumpkin that has all those nice seeds inside that you can roast if you do it Halloween. Mm-hmm. Very little innards. What do you actually call the inside of a pumpkin? I call it guts and innards. It must be where the plant starts. It's seeds, and then it's kind of like the stringy stuff. So you scoop that out of each half, and you just place them cut side down on a baking sheet. I barely fit the two onto one baking sheet. Like, they were so big.
That is a massive pie pumpkin.
And I roasted it one at a time. So one pumpkin at a time. Roast it in the oven until you can kind of stick a fork into it and it goes in nice and smooth. It's soft.
Right.
Let it cool a bit because they're really hot to handle. scoop all that yummy pumpkin out, toss the skin because you don't need that part.
Right.
And then I just pureed it. I didn't add anything to it. I just pureed it. But if I would think if you had any trouble pureeing your pumpkin, you could add a bit of water to thin it in your blender.
Most of the
And
time, those fresh pumpkins have a lot of moisture in them, so you don't have to worry.
You don't want to add too much. Like you wouldn't want to add a whole bunch of moisture to it if you didn't have to. But mine blended up real quick, and then I divided it out into little freezer bags, 1 cup in each bag, and then I laid them all flat and I put them in the freezer, and now they're just these little flat packages of pumpkin that I just
Yes.
put them all in this box. It's these nice little packages. I just love that they're so organized and neat and tidy. And so if I'm going to make pumpkin muffins or loaf or pie, I know already that it's measured out into 1 cup. I just need to thaw it out and then it's good to go. It makes me very happy.
I like doing this also with, I process my beets this way. So I boil and blend and bag. And I do it with zucchinis too, only you don't have to go through the whole boiling part. I just grate it up on a grater, portion it in 1 cup portions, and I do the same thing with the little, with the bags flat frozen. Although I haven't gone as far as organizing those further because I'm often chasing them around my freezer by the end of the season, being like, how much frozen food do I have left? So that's a really good tip.
Well, I find I do the same thing, and I find I'm like rooting around in the bottom of my freezer, and I go, "Oh, there's still zucchini in here!" Like
Yeah.
I, because it gets lost.
It's
So
like an Easter egg hunt by the time April hits.
that's true, but it's still good, and you can still use it. And not everything can be a banana that you just toss right in the freezer. I love that.
Unfortunately,
Yeah.
unfortunately. So, what are
Okay.
you doing with your pumpkins now that you've got them roasted and pureed?
Well, I plan on doing lots of things, but for today, we are going to make a risotto with fresh pumpkin. The other thing about fresh pumpkin is that it is yellow. If you've never seen fresh pumpkin, it doesn't look like the stuff you get in the jar, pumpkin puree, which is totally fine. If that's what you've got, that's good too. Just buy the plain pumpkin puree, not the pumpkin pie filling, which has sugar and spice and whatever else in there. But the canned stuff is brown. Which is, there's nothing wrong with it. It just looks different than the fresh frozen pumpkin that I'm talking about. So I found this recipe that looks really delicious. And I have made risotto before, but it's been a long time. And it was a butternut squash risotto that I made. So, and we really liked it. So I'm quite confident that a pumpkin risotto will also be really delicious. A risotto, if you're not familiar, a risotto is an Italian rice dish that is cooked with broth until it reaches a creamy consistency. So I think it's an arborio rice, and you're adding a little bit of liquid, broth, wine, a combination of both. So good. And you're adding it bit by
I'm miming Heather taking a sip of wine and then
Yes.
popping it into the dish.
Well, I'm not the first to say if you're cooking with real wine, buy the one you like so that you can drink it while you cook with it. And you're basically adding it little bit by little bit and stirring and stirring until it evaporates, like it cooks down and is absorbed by the rice. And then you add more and you're going until it's all done. You don't just add a ton of water in there or broth or wine. You're adding it in little bits and little bits and little bits and stirring and stirring and stirring.
I have
So
never made
that's.
risotto before, so you have me.
Okay. So I remember hearing back when I made this, and it was a long time ago, like living in a different house a long time ago. So you know that was quite a long time ago.
Pre-kids, long time ago.
Yes. And I remember hearing or reading or whatever that it was very time consuming and very finicky, and that you have to, you're standing at the stove and you're stirring. And at the time that did seem like a lot of work to me, but at this point, having done so many different things in the kitchen and spent so much time standing in my kitchen and working at it, doesn't even faze me. Like, so what? You're stirring. Who cares? Drink your wine, stir your rice. It's gonna be good.
Put on your favorite podcast
Listen
and
to some,
cook away.
if you're Aaron, you're listening to some farming content. If you're me, you're listening to true crime. So you know, whatever you like. Whatever you like to listen to. Or play your favorite music and sing and annoy your children with
Oh,
your terrible
yes.
singing voice. That's also an option.
That's how you get the kitchen to yourself. If they walk in,
Exactly.
change it over to your favorite music, even if they can't hear the music and it's in your ears, just start singing. You've got the whole kitchen to yourself in no time.
You know what? That's even better because we all know we sing probably out of tune when we
Oh,
can't
yeah.
hear our own voice. Just put on those headphones and sing.
Yeah.
And you probably sound as terrible as the kids think you do,
Yeah.
but that's good. Yeah.
That's how you have the time and space to drink your wine and make your rice.
Exactly. Okay, so this risotto, let's see what the actual name of this recipe is. Pumpkin risotto with bacon and parmesan.
Oh.
Very simple, right? Like we all know those flavors are going to go great together. There's bacon, onion, stock, which could be vegetable or chicken. I will most likely do chicken because I always have homemade chicken stock in my freezer. Just got to remember to take it out in advance. That's the challenge. It happens to have a cup of pumpkin puree, which is perfect for my pre-measured little organized freezer.
Ding dong.
A small bunch of fresh thyme, salt, pepper, arborio rice, white wine, butter, honey, and parmesan cheese. I think all these flavors, it sounds simple and
Nothing
yet
can go wrong with this.
no. I'll go through obviously in the second half how I did
Yes.
it, but it's very simple. I've already told you you're basically just going to be stirring. You're going to be stirring that rice until it all comes together. And then I don't know if this recipe suggests it, but I remember also learning that you want to serve risotto from the stove, serve your risotto. You don't want it sitting because it will get kind of gummy and thicken up
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
because of the starch in the rice. I think you can still reheat later, but it won't be as good as when it's like.
That fresh off the stove, nothing really
Yeah.
beats that for some dishes.
Yeah, there's just some things are better later, like as leftovers or the next day, but some things are better right away.
Yeah.
And maybe this is one of them. I guess we're gonna find out.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, so this recipe, what I just told you with the 1 cup of pumpkin, makes 4 servings. So it's possible I may make more.
Right.
We'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it. I want to do something savory with this pumpkin.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to what you're doing with your pumpkins. I've got mine in now in the basement, and I'm waiting for them to. They've started turning, but they're not 100% there yet, and I am anxiously awaiting. Hey, listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. Did you know that pumpkins are native to North America and were historically an important food staple in Native American diets? If you're interested in exploring more indigenous cooking, we recommend checking out Shane Chartrand's cookbook, To Wow. We cooked 5 amazing recipes from it a couple years back, including a savory pumpkin salad. Check out the show notes for a link to that episode and more, and go find this awesome cookbook. Now, back to the risotto.
Hey, Erin, do you want to hear how to make risotto?
I do. I bought my rice. I have my
Oh,
pumpkin
did you?
ready. I want to know how to make this because I've never made it before and I've got to have it now.
How are your pumpkins? Did they turn orange?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my
I
big
haven't seen
one,
them. Yeah.
my big one's orange and almost all my little ones are orange. I got 9 pumpkins to work with.
Nice.
It's my year for pumpkins.
Yeah, you had a great little harvest there. Okay, well, let me tell you about pumpkin risotto with bacon and parmesan. Okay,
Please.
let's start with the bacon. 1/2 pound of bacon diced. So cut it up before you cook it.
Okay.
Put it in your some kind of heavy bottom pot in an even layer over medium heat. And you know, once it starts to sizzle and then stir it around a bit. And you want it to be crispy, but not like, don't go nuts. Don't like turn it to dust. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, sometimes
you
you get
know.
those bacons and you bite into it and it's like too hard and too
Yeah.
crispy. But then if it's not crispy enough, it's like chewy and fatty.
Yeah.
So you want somewhere in between those two ends.
That's right. That's right. I mean, really, we probably don't need to tell anybody how to cook bacon, but just in case, there you go. Take it out, put it on paper towel, set it aside. Then you're going to dice a small onion and add that to your pot with the bacon fat that's in the pot. Saute for
Yum.
about 5 minutes until it starts to soften. And while that's happening, put your stock in a saucepan over medium heat. You have 1 quart of stock, which I believe is about 4 cups. I always have to do the conversion because I'm like, why is it 1 quart? Who talks in quarts? I
I
don't
don't
know.
know,
Not me.
but my measuring cup, my 4 cup measuring cup says 4 cups, 1 quart, and that is the
Oh,
only
there
reason.
you go. Yeah. Okay, you can use vegetable or chicken stock. You know, I use chicken because I always have chicken stock in my freezer that I make when I roast chicken. And add your cup of pumpkin puree to your stock and whisk it in so that it warms up along with the stock. You want
Okay.
the liquid that you're putting into your risotto to be warm when you add it in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's warming nicely. Now your onion is softened. You're going to add thyme, salt, and black pepper to the onions. And the thyme, you're just going to do a like a bundle,
Oh, okay.
a small bunch. Tie it up into a little bundle and put it in your pot. Now it kind of feels like it gets in the way as you're like stirring it move. You have to keep shuffling it around. So if you prefer, you could just put that fresh thyme, take it off the stems and put it in. I think it would be just fine. But in this method, you're going to take it back out again later. You're just cooking with your little bundle in there, and then you're going to stir the rice into it. A cup of arborio rice. You're going to stir it into the onions with the bundle of thyme
And the
and
bacon fat.
the bacon
Oh,
fat. Yeah.
yes.
It smells so good. You're going to toast that rice for a couple of minutes and then you're going to start adding liquid. So the first thing you're putting in is white wine. Now, I just said things should be warm. Your wine is not warm. It could be room temperature. It could probably be from the fridge. I don't know. I had purchased a bottle specifically to make risotto. So it was like at room temp. I hadn't put it in the fridge or anything. I'd say choose the kind of white wine you like to drink. And I don't think it matters what type of wine it is. Just pick the kind you like. The alcohol obviously is going to cook off. So if that's a concern for you, or if you really don't want to use wine, you could probably use cooking sherry, get that same kind of flavor out of it, or just add an extra half a cup to your broth. But I think the wine gives it a nice
I feel like that's a
flavor.
necessity.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to make it like accommodating for people, but I kind of agree.
I kind of feel like when the recipe suggests some sort of alcohol to put in, that's,
Usually a reason.
yeah, like it just adds so much more flavor. I, for the longest time, I'd be like, man, I'll just use broth. But once I started cooking more with wine, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this actually makes a big difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, when you smell it, there's something about wine in there with the bacon fat and the onions. Like it's just, oh, it's so good.
Like I've always got wine going.
Do you?
I
Even though you
do.
don't drink it?
Even though I don't drink it, I keep it in my fridge and just cook with it.
Okay. The problem for me would be I would drink it and then it'd be gone. I'm like, damn it, I thought I had wine in here. No, I drank it all.
A reason to buy the wine that's not quite your favorite if you have a hard time keeping it on hand, right?
Okay, good point. Okay, so you've added your wine, you're going to stir, get a big wooden spoon, you're going to be stirring quite a bit. So get comfy. Either standing next to the stove or grab a stool and sit your butt down.
There you go.
So you're going to stir it until the rice has absorbed all the wine. Then you're going to start adding your broth a ladle at a time. So get your soup ladle. It's about a third of a cup at a time. You put in your ladle of broth and you stir until it's completely absorbed into the rice. Then you add another one and you stir and you just keep it moving until you've added all the liquid, and it takes close to half an hour. I would say it was probably about 25 minutes of adding, stirring, and don't like get impatient and add more liquid because you're still going to be there until it absorbs. So like just do it in small bits. I think that's the method for risotto. So just be patient. Sit down, pour that wine,
I was going to say,
drink
this is
wine while
where
you
the wine
stir.
comes in really handy, doesn't it? One for
Yes.
you, one for me.
Yes, exactly. Okay, then when all the liquid is in, it's all been absorbed, your rice is cooked, you remove that bundle of thyme, stir in butter, honey, and half a cup of shredded Parmesan cheese. You're going to stir that all in. Once the butter and the cheese have melted, ideally you'll serve this immediately. Garnish with the bacon, put lots of bacon, stir it right in there. It's so good. And then a little extra cheese on top, more black pepper if you like. And that is it. Like, that's how you make risotto. It's a little time consuming, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we are often just adding water to rice, boiling and walking away, whereas this one, you got to just keep moving it.
Yeah, you got to keep the stirring going. So it's not the easiest thing if you're making it as a side dish and you have something else on the go that you have to tend to. I would say just think about your entire meal and what you're having with. Now, that said, you and I did not eat this immediately from the pot. I delivered it to you and then I put mine in the fridge too, and we ate it later because I didn't have time to make it right just right before dinner. And I actually added just a little more broth when I warmed it up to kind of just loosen it up a bit, and I thought it was good.
That's exactly what I did. I just splashed some broth in there in a pot, stirred it around until everything got warm. I don't see anything wrong with
Yeah. And the
that.
bacon, we had put the bacon in, so we reheated it with the bacon in, and you could totally do that too. It was good. It was great.
Yeah, I thought this was fantastic. I loved the flavors in here. You know what? It reminded me of the gnocchis that I made.
Oh, the butternut squash
The
gnocchi.
butternut squash with the bacon and miso
Oh yeah, that
sauce.
was great.
I think it was the bacon and the bacon fat, and then that squashy
Squash.
pumpkiny flavor. Those two things together should be married always in every savory dish, as far as I'm
Oh
concerned.
yeah, that was a great recipe too. Yeah, I thought the pumpkin flavor is quite mild. This is not like overly heavy on any one flavor, really. Like, it's not heavy on the pumpkin. It's not heavy on, like, you're not really tasting the wine. It's not like, oh, too much bacon. Well, I mean, it could be if you don't like bacon as much as we like bacon. But you can decide how much bacon you put. Like, if you serve it with the bacon on the side, people can put however much bacon they want. My family was like, is there any more bacon?
Yeah, that would be my family too. They're bacon
Yeah.
holics. Yeah, no, I liked the flavors in this. And I've always been so intimidated by the thought of cooking risotto. I had no idea how to do it. Now I've already bought my arborio rice. I've got my bag. It's gonna happen this week.
Oh yeah. And you know what I did, even though we ate it for dinner later, I did of course taste it like right when it was done, and it is like extra creamy, gooey, like right out of the pot, right when you finished it. It is that there's a reason they say serve it immediately because it is a little elevated at that point because it's just extra creamy. So if you can time it, maybe do cook your protein ahead of time
Or something
and
that's
your
going to sit in the oven. Prep your protein and then just have a fresh salad already prepared.
Totally.
I know what I'm doing for dinner.
A nice chunk of like crusty bread, if you don't mind a few more carbs, and you can kind of use that to scoop up your rice. Like, oh, I just, yeah,
This is great.
it's really good. And the kids liked it too. They were like, there's pumpkin? Like, they were kind of like, what? But they liked it.
Sometimes it's best to tell them after you've made something and they're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You're like, oh, did you know this has mushrooms in
That's true, yeah.
it? My family always complains that my rice is too plain because I often will just make plain steamed rice because I guess I'm
Yeah.
just boring like
We
that.
eat that a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I am going to throw all the flavors at them and we're going to have this for sure on the side. Now that I know how to make it, I have been anticipating these instructions.
You can make risotto with, I mean, if you look up recipes for risotto, you can make it with almost like you talked about mushroom. Do it like with mushrooms and beef broth, and you'll have a completely different thing. I once made it, I think actually the only other time I've ever made risotto, but it was butternut squash and vanilla bean. And it was like, we're both making faces like, what? It was so good. It was so
Pause for
good.
dramatic effect.
Yeah. So you could get really creative with your risotto.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like I can imagine a lot of different flavors that would go good with this, as long as you have bacon fat.
If you don't want to do bacon, we were talking about this yesterday in another conversation about how keep your bacon fat after you just make bacon for breakfast or whatever. Keep it in a little jam jar in the freezer and pull that out and use the fat to saute your onion and your rice. And even if you don't have bacon, you could still have that flavor of the bacon fat.
Exactly. Bacon fat is an essential oil in my house.
Yeah. Don't be intimidated as we were about risotto. Just super easy, really yummy. Everybody will like it. Change up your carb.
Yeah, it's easy to do these little things that just elevate an everyday meal to something so much better.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the risotto.
Oh my gosh, so much.
All hail the pumpkin, the great pumpkin. Let's all just keep eating pumpkin for as long as all
Yeah.
year round. You can always buy
Pumpkin
it in
season starts now and it ends never. And now for the fine print. Join us over on the socials. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our website at threekitchenspodcast.com. Remember, when you like, follow, subscribe, and leave us a review, it helps more people find us. Thank you so much for listening.
It says here, in folklore, cinnamon, ginger, and clove are said to repel the evil and foul. Remember that when you hear people complaining about pumpkin spice.